And welcome to Meathead Chatter, episode 47. Dude, that's good. Tyler's on it. He knew. I was like, fuck, this is how I screw up the intro, which is, you know, something we used to do a lot. So thank you for making us more professional until I told everyone about it. With me, as always, is my homie Tyler.
Hello, everybody.
The smooth baritone voice that just gives you chills up your spine and joy in your willy.
I should just do audiobooks.
You should do just like romance novels, though.
Right.
Be like, and then he put his hand through her hair, and I don't know. I never read one. Go like that.
My wife reads those.
Yeah. You guys could do one together.
Not doing that.
Adorable.
No, thanks. I don't know how fun that would be. I think it would be more of me trying not to laugh the whole time.
That could be just as entertaining as the actual... may be better than the books.
Because I'd be reading something real sexy and then, like, give her the eye. And then it'd be like, okay, we got to pause this.
Perfect. Cool. So she's pregnant and you have another kid. How far along is she?
She is September, October, November, December, January. She's 4 months, and today we get to go to the doctor and find out what the gender is.
Oh, shit. See, we didn't even prep that. That's how good we are at this shit.
Oh, yeah. We got a couple names picked out for a boy. We're going to go Graham Joseph Pruitt. Mm-hmm. And then my first son's name is Grayson, so it'd be Grayson and Graham. And I didn't. Nice. That wasn't even planned. I was just like, the G's. GRs. And then GERS. And then GERS. For a girl, my wife has two middle names, Catherine Leona. And we're going to flop them, so it'll be like Leona Catherine Pruitt.
Okay.
Both of those names are, like, great-grandmothers of hers. She's real stuck on that. Every time she, like, gives me a name, she's like, well, it's my so-and-so. And I'm like, I don't know why we have to stick to that.
You're like, but then, it doesn't have to be.
Exactly. But then I look at Grayson, and I gave him my middle name, and then I got my middle name from my dad.
So yeah, my son is Liam Daniel. So, yeah, he's my first name for his middle. My brother was like that with my dad. So yeah, it's a thing. Just like if your grandma's name was like Dolores or something, and you're like, we have to name our daughter Dolores. Like that would suck.
No. No thanks.
Cool. Well, all right. Glad we got the family shit out of the way.
Yeah.
So perfect. So you have a show coming up
March 23rd.
March 23rd. And, when do you start prepping, like, for real?
Well, so I technically started prepping and doing... So I kind of changed my training up for it, running something a little different. You and I had talked, and I'd been doing... For the longest time when I'd prep for shows, I would do, like, 4 days a week of, like, hard training. And I just feel like I'm only 27, but... At this point in time, my training age is probably 14 years because I've been training pretty hard since I was like 13, like we were talking about earlier. And so this time around, I'm going one hard session like every 3 days. And so it's not even a lot of people get stuck on like a 7 day split.
Right.
And they're like, okay, day one, I'm going to do this. Day two, I'm going to do this. Day three is a rest day. Four and five is this. And then I'm running it back. On day one, you know, every Monday, for example, is deadlift day.
Right.
I took that out of my head. I just, you know, wrote out on my Google Calendar my training days. So I'll do, like, day one, for example, today, I did some axle deadlift, which in the show, it's some max axle from 9 inches. And I won't deadlift again probably for...
9 days or something
like that. Well, probably more than that. Probably... I'll take 2 days where I do some conditioning and then some, like, bodybuilder health for the elbows and the knees and the shoulders, just blood pump type stuff. And then I'll run log on day four and some accessories for that. And then, again, conditioning and body pump stuff. So that'd be 5, 6. And then day seven would be, like, yoke and farmers. 8, 9 would be rest and conditioning and stuff. Yeah, because
you just carried fucking yoke.
Day 10 would be some stone work. 11, 12. So, like, once every 12 days, I'll be deadlifting.
Yep. Totally get away with in Strongman, too, because a yoke, a farmer's, a stone, it's all, like, the same musculature working, and you only really have to, like, train that peak movement so many times, right. You know?
And like by train it, I mean like put high effort and intent into it. I'm not saying I won't grab an axle and put like 40% on there, 50% on there and work right. and grease the groove and like really focus on some technique on a day. But like, I won't really get a hard deadlift session, but maybe once every 12 days or so.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to run this and see how it goes. I mean,
that's how I've trained. My best powerlifting totals ever have been when it was basically like 1 week was a heavy squat and a light deadlift. The next week was a heavy deadlift and a light squat. So like right. That's like the 12 to 14 day thing is kind of how I've had a lot of success too, especially as I got a little further into my training age and, you know, into my like mid to late 30s. Like I had a lot of luck with that. So it just takes longer to recover, especially when you get strong enough to like really fuck yourself up. Like recovery makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And that was inspired by like just listening to the Table Talk with Dave Tate and listening to Dave Hoff talk.
Hey, we don't advertise other podcasts on here. So
I'm just saying what I was listening to. Okay. I was listening to these other guys that know a lot more than me and have a longer training age. And they were talking about that kind of thing. And I was just like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to give it a run and see what happens. I might still be like too young and weak for that. I mean, the show in March will let me know if my training was decent or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shit, the other day you were carrying a 770 yoke, like, better than it's ever moved. So, I mean, in the short term, it seems to be working all right, you right. know?
Yeah, because, again, I'm yoking every other week, essentially.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah. And then I just think in strongman specifically, those conditioning days where I just do, like, 30, I'll do, like, bike, row, treadmill,
mm-hmm.
10 minutes each. Just get like a 30-minute conditioning session in, maybe some band work for some mobility. And then that other day where I'm doing, I'll have it upper and lower split and just get three to four sets of 8 to 12 on what I think's important, you know, lats, do some hammer curls just to make the elbow
right
good. And then banded TKEs and just stuff like that to keep me feeling healthy. And then I think those go into the comp, like they translate into the competition a lot better because it just the overall conditioning you need, I feel like, plays a big role. Because after event one, you got to recover and you got to be able to give all that same effort.
Dude, and we were talking about this the other day too. Tyler and me both are like, we haven't typically been just the strongest dude there at a strongman show, but we'll end up killing people because the athleticism is there. And, like, the endurance is there. So, by the fifth event, like, we still feel pretty fucking good. And all the guys that were, like, maybe statically more strong are just petering out on event four and five. They got nothing. Has that kind of been your experience, too?
Yeah, I mean, if you just take a look at my bubble of competitors that I'm in with, like, the pro 105-kilogram
right.
strongmen, I am not the strongest. And neither are the dudes at the top. Like, the strongest dudes seem to always come up short because they think they have to be the strongest they can be in training.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the approach I've taken, and it's done me pretty decently so far.
Right.
But like you said, the endurance and just being able to compete, there's a lot that goes into that, obviously, but like Dan said, like, we're not always the strongest people that show up at the show, but we just compete better. We know how to compose ourselves. We know how to implement the strength that we have on
when it matters.
Yes.
And not, yeah, not be stupid.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I've been training actually kind of layout wise similar to you. My shit's a little more like randomized. It's like whatever doesn't hurt, I'll hit. But I'm like you. It's like I'm not. This is what I'm like. There's a day one, day two, day three, day four every week. It's I'll train 2 days and then I take a day and then 2 days and I take a day. So some weeks I end up with 5 training days. Some weeks I end up with 4. And a lot of my stuff is more conditioning and, you know, hypertrophy ranges anyway on a lot of my training days. So, you know, I can handle like a little more volume than I have in the past. And man, yeah, I'm digging it. I'm digging not being like married to a specific like this is the deadlift day schedule.
And then also on top of all that, I like to, and I'll leave the gym here and go over to my high school wrestling practice where I'm an assistant varsity coach, and I'll always come back and I'm like, I walk into Dan's office. I'm like, I wrestled high schoolers tonight. My face is all fucked up and shit like that. So I'm getting extra work in there, especially during wrestling. Yeah, especially during wrestling season right now, because like I'll do a little bit of a warm up with them, and so for the whole hour and a half, like I'm getting some kind of like almost passive.
Right.
Because it's not like I have to do every 30-second go with them. I'd pick and choose whenever.
When you're but, you're like, all right, I feel ready. Let's go.
Yeah, ahead. And I'll wait for our heavier kids to get a little tired and then
there you go
wrestling. But, like, nonetheless, I'm taking shots. I'm expressing mobility and explosiveness and, like, giving them a good look and everything. So I think that will help out, and that'll kind of keep my conditioning where it needs to be.
Yeah, 100%. I remember when I was conditioning for like MMA and stuff, like when we'd have rounds where we're wrestling and things, and it's like that to me feels very similar to how shitty I feel in like a 60-second Florida overhead log at a strongman show. Like it's a similar level of like full body doom.
Yeah. And the other day my son and I and my wife went to the trampoline park. Dude, I forgot how fun that shit is.
Which one did you guys go to?
Elite Air.
Okay. The other one is Get Air. I didn't know Elite Air existed.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Get Air is like trash now. It's not very so good. Bad.
Not very good.
It's Elite like Air. It hasn't been cleaned in 3 years is what it feels like in there.
Elite Air is pretty nice. There's a little gymnastics gym on the other side of it.
Uh-huh.
And Grayson was doing that for a while.
Nice.
That was the first sport we had him ever do, just for body awareness and learning how to tumble and all that stuff. And he really wants to go back. He wants to start doing, we watch him Ninja Warrior and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He wants to start doing stuff like that. I was like, hell yeah, dude.
Dude, a lot of gymnastics gyms are throwing that up as like one of the programs they do. Cause like, why not? It makes sense. And it's like the growing sport.
Yeah. And I think that type of training, the calisthenic style of training, that is so important for like developing just proprioception in general, like understanding where you're at in space, how to maneuver or how to manipulate like your hips.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's at that age too, where like that's where you develop that shit. And then when you're an adult, you can learn anything really fast just because your body awareness and body control is like totally different.
Yeah.
Like I'll have a client, you know, straight off the couch and I'll be like, hey, have you ever lifted before, done any sports? And they're like, nah. But then they'll come in and I'll be like, why are you fucking good at this? And then come to find out they did gymnastics for like 6 years when they were a kid, or like, they did martial arts for like 10 years and it's like, well, it's not a sport, so I didn't think it counted. It's like, no, man, like that early development of athletic skill and coordination is something you just can't get if you're an adult anymore.
Yeah. And I find that very important. Like when we lived down in Georgia and Alabama, I would just put him up in a tree and be like, climb, you know, and like just have him doing stuff.
That's the most fucking Georgia thing I've ever heard.
Hey, it worked, though, because...
Put him in the field, throw him up in the tree, tell him to climb.
It worked, because he's far beyond any other kid in his peer group.
Right.
As far as... I mean, you've seen him in here. He'll stack up crash pads and do box jumps that are, like, up to his chest, and you're like, the fuck? Like,
yep.
So, and he loves grabbing the easy curl bar and putting, like, the 10-pound bumpers on and doing some deadlifts.
Yeah, he's getting it, man.
So...
He's in the right environment, that's for sure. Yeah,
I think that's going to pay dividends for him big time compared to his... Like, my wife today sent me a picture of baseball signups.
Uh-huh.
And he'll turn 5 in March, and then baseball starts that summer. And so we're going to take him out of... He did 1 year of T-ball, and we're going to take him out of that and have him do 6U baseball and just see how he does. Because he was, like, the only kid that could hit when the coach soft-tossed to him in T-ball.
Gotcha.
And he was, like, the only kid that was, like, in a stance waiting for the ball to come to him. He could ground a ball and, like, throw it from almost second to first and, like, all that. So, and he was just – he took to it really well. And, like, also, when we were at home, he was just like, Daddy, can we go outside and hit the ball? Like, the drive to want to practice to do things, is there. You know what I mean? So, and that's so important. I keep seeing a bunch of videos about these kids that – just get handed a tablet or an iPad and you just see how they change. And
parents just don't want to be involved.
Yeah, dude. It's like, just
it's annoying when a kid always wants to play with you, but that's how they like get good at shit too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Train of thought is lost.
You are going to the Arnold.
I am going to the Arnold.
You're
going to
spectate?
No, I'm competing.
You're competing?
No.
Oh, Okay. I didn't know if you were competing in the amateur show or not.
No, I didn't. I don't do Strongman Corp. I just protest them. I don't know. Strongman Corp has some great shows. They have a lot of great people in it. I just don't like the hotel booking thing for nationals. Oh, I just don't like being told what to do, and I feel like there's a little more of that in that than others.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong if you compete in that. More power to you. If you work in that federation, more fucking power to you. I have personally had more fun playing in USS.
Yeah. And in my experience, it's been, I mean, I just love the sport in general. So like if I get a chance to compete, fuck it. I'll do it.
That's kind of how I am too. I've competed in both quite a bit,
but the atmosphere is almost different between both of those federations. I was asking that cause, strongman competition that's going on at the Arnold for the big boys.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about this a little bit. There is, I don't know about you, and I know people have their opinions on athletes or whatever, but Hap Thor coming back,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty stoked about, because originally he announced that he was going to try to beat the powerlifting all-time record, and then was getting real strong real quick, tore his pec, and then he has kind of healed that up and was talking about coming back into strongman, and I was like, man, is he going to be able to be what he was? And he was even like talking about how, you know, this year was kind of going to be a tune-up year, just get out there, compete, because he loves the sport. But if he wins, he wins. If he doesn't, he doesn't. He's not super worried about it. But now, as of this week, he's weighing in at 186 kilos, which is 400 and something pounds. So, holy shit. I'm excited to see him back, because he went out in 2018, was his last year doing strongman, right? And in that year, he broke the world deadlift record. Say what you want, people. He fucking did. It wasn't his fault. COVID was happening, so he couldn't go do it in a big stage with everybody. But he broke it. He won Europe's. He won Iceland's. He won World's Strongest Man. And he won the fucking Arnold. Anything you could win in strongman, he won that year. And then he was like, cool, I'm going to box Eddie now.
He won the Arnold in 18, 19, and 20.
Jesus.
So he didn't just win in the COVID year. Like, he came back to three-peat.
And
the Arnold is, if, I mean, this is my opinion, the Arnold Strongman Classic is the toughest competition. It has the hardest,
it's the heaviest for
sure. The two hardest strongman competition, or his two hardest strongman events, in my opinion, are the Rogue Invitational Wheel of Death, where they have to push that.
Yep.
Big apparatus in a circle, and then the frame carry up the incline, dude. Yep. That's
how you feel. So we got World's Strongest Man, we got the Rogue Invitational, we got the Arnold Classic Strongman Show in Ohio, and we got the Shaw Classic for the biggest monstrosities of humans that do strongman, like the World's Strongest Man guys. Where do you think those rank as far as, like, this is the show that the best fucker in the world's going to win?
The Arnold. And then in second, Shaw's show is fucking heavy.
It's starting. Two. Those are the two in my head where I'm like, those are the top two. World's Strongest Man has kind of been lighter.
The only thing about World's Strongest Man that separates it a little bit is the
fucking title.
The title and, like, the span of 4 to 5 days of competition.
Yeah, that's a thing.
So, like, that brings a whole different element into it. So I think that shows,
and the amount of travel that most of people have to do. It's I mean, we've lucked out and it's been in the States the last couple years, but, like, you're at Botswana, it's outside, it's 100 fucking degrees. Like, everywhere they go, I feel like, is let's find a place where it's disgusting and over 100 degrees and put 400 pound dudes that sweat too much in that weather.
Yeah. I went down to Bradenton and watched it in 2018, I think, and, dude, it was miserable even just to sit there and watch. But
I didn't think about that. Yeah, that definitely makes that show a little harder.
Yeah, and that's kind of leads into, like, if you win the Arnold Strongman Classic, you are probably
favored the strongest.
Well, you're probably the strongest dude at that moment. If you win World's Strongest Man, you're the best, like we were talking. You may overall not be the strongest, but you're the best competitor. You know how to compete. You know how to...
That's fair.
Like, Shaw winning at all those times, like, he in his heats, he would just make it out of his heat because he knew he needed it for the
end. He competed intelligently. He wasn't blowing his load in the qualifying heats. He was doing what he needed to qualify. Exactly. Sometimes he got second instead of first, but who cares? It gets him to the finals.
And then as far as the Rogue goes, the Rogue Invitational, I think that one's very unique. Because, for example,
it's relatively new as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. They did like developing. They did like a 50-foot yoke carry into a 3-rep log, and I think that's interesting.
that's a weird combo.
It's interesting because it's like, okay, I got to run this yoke, but when I log lift, I have to wear lifters. If I'm a certain
competitor,
I have to wear lifters. So now I got to run this yoke in lifters. So now I'm at like a disadvantageous position for this yoke to make sure I have an advantageous position for the log.
Well, and just the system difference too, right? Because like yoke and farmers is pretty common to throw together. So it's like, you know, stand up, legs, posterior chain, pretty similar musculature events, right? Or like you're doing a loading medley. It's just carrying and loading a bunch of front load things.
Mm-hmm.
But throwing like an upper body lift like the log in there after
being
a very taxing yoke, even not including, oh shit, my shoes might be the wrong shoes that I'm used to training in. Like that definitely like throws you for a loop.
Yeah. That's what I was talking with a couple members of ours, and I was like, I would love to do some odd events for like our September show.
Yoke show.
Oh yeah. Like that. That'd be sick. Bench, squat, deadlift.
Well, where carry. Did we see that? That was on Instagram somewhere.
Yeah. It was one of the dudes I compete against. He lives over in Norway. He lives across the pond, and he was doing
everything with a yoke.
Yeah. He deadlifted the yoke off some plates. He benched it. He squatted it. Anderson squat style, overhead pressed it. And then Zercher carried it. And I was like, those would be five tough ass events.
And there's our September show.
Yoke spectacular.
The Yokeathon. We got to think of a good name. That'd be fun. We should have like three of the events be with yokes and then have some like other normal shit too.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like the setup for that is going to be a bitch between events.
Well, if we get a couple more yokes, hit up your boy, Andrew. Hey, man.
Andrew, I need more yokes.
Bring like four.
We'll have them sponsor like two strongman shows and just bring a yoke and leave it every time. And we'll just end up with like five yokes here.
Yeah. Taking up more space than it needs to.
We'll just use it to hang shit from. It'll be like where we hang all our cable attachments. And
yeah. That's what one of them is right now. It holds all of our chains.
It holds our chains and our belts. Just line them up on the wall. There's our barbell holders. You just attach little clips to them. Just.
Hell yeah. So for this year, a couple big names on the competitors list. We got Mitchell Hooper coming back to defend the title.
And he is on a fucking roll.
Dude, and he just
started
freakishly athletic, like what we've been talking about. Thor's coming back. Martins, fan favorite.
Is Martins healthy?
I don't know. I've been so immersed in my strongman community, I haven't really been paying attention to the big dudes as much.
Because you're not competing against them, so
I don't have to worry about them.
Yeah.
I just like watching the show.
Dude, he was
one of my favorites, though, is Alexei. I don't know why I've always just gravitated to Novikov.
Because he's the smallest dude there, so you're like, he's almost like me.
Yeah, because he started. He initially, when he first got on the scene, he was a 105-kilogram pro.
Yeah, I could see that.
And that's where he started, and I was like, dope. It gives me
hope
that I could maybe do that, but like we were talking, I don't know, walking around 300 pounds.
Yeah, it's a matter of quality of life tolerance. But shit, he's also a little taller than you too.
And then
wait a little more.
Bobby Thompson, he's going to be competing. Matus is coming back.
Bobby, I have your log.
Yeah,
I have your log. You never hit me back if you wanted to buy it or not. I have your American record log,
signature and all. I'd love to just keep it though.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
When he responds, he's like, yeah, I'm totally down to buy it. I'll be like, fuck you, bro. Snooze, you lose. Shave your beard. Queer.
Come.
I'm just kidding. Bobby's awesome. I just got on a shit talk roll there.
But the Strongman Classic is a two-day event. On the Friday, they're doing a max elephant bar deadlift and the frame carry up the incline.
Same day.
So
who you got? So last year, no one pulled over 1,000 on the elephant bar. we got some over 1,000 polls coming this year, you think?
Bobby. And Thor, if he, you know,
comes, if he comes anywhere back to where he was. If he comes
as normal Thor, then yeah. I don't know about Hooper's deadlifting capability.
I think he pulled...
But he is my favorite to win the frame carry.
I think he pulled like...
him and Alexi, maybe
I think he pulled like 420 kilo last year, so like 9-something.
Yeah.
So, but I think he pulled what he needed to like win.
Right, and that's what I was about to say. Like, if there's not a 1,000-pound pull needed, I wouldn't...
Yeah,
not,
it probably
it's
won't.
Not necessary, you know?
Unless Thor just wants to come in and do it just to be like, yeah, fuck you guys, I'm here.
Right. But for that frame carry, it's going to be between Mitchell, Alexi, and Matus probably. Maybe Evan Singleton. But Matus
I think Hooper... Dude, Hooper moves so fast
Matus
on carry events.
Matus is the same, dude. He's a fucking speed demon. And then we come into the second day. Denny Stone carry, which is tough for anybody. The Apollon wheel axle clean and press. So it's a fixed axle.
I'm excited for that.
The fixed axle changes the game, dude.
It looks cool. And the fixed axle, if you haven't practiced it, is so much harder.
And then it says stone medley. I don't know if these are natural stones. I don't know if these are regular stones. Because I know
like
the
they've done
I know the,
so much natural stones. It'd be cool to like throw an actual Atlas stone back in strongman, and then you'll start seeing it at competitions again. I feel like it died out a little bit.
Because there was one year, I don't know exactly what year it was, but they were doing like a natural stone carry around like a square foot or a square.
Was that their Husafell replica?
Ooh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's what it was. That was pretty cool to watch. Just because, like we were talking about last week. I love max carry stuff. You just get to see who can grind.
Yeah. I love it. And it's probably just because, like, it's an event I'm good at. Like, max distance carries, like you said, it's just like a suffer quotient. Whoever can suffer more wins. And you get to figure out, like, you know, who's tough and who's weak.
Yeah. A thought that was running through my mind, changing gears a little bit, I guess. So I was doing strength and conditioning coaching at the high school that I coached wrestling at for a while. Before we opened this place. And when we opened it, I told the athletic director, hey, too much stuff on the plate. Sorry, but I got to go run this gym. When the kids get out of high school, we should do some like high school strength and conditioning up in here.
We should, you know, Craig, Jeff Coach guy, he was talking to me about trying to get his guys in here to run like a strongman circuit type thing on like Saturdays.
Yeah, dude.
I told him, I was like, yes, when you're ready to do it, let me know. We'll fucking set it up and go. We could have, like, Frontier and Jeff come in and, like, just
and my kids would it. My kids would eat it up a lot because they just don't have the ability to...
Did you just blow up your pants? Okay.
they don't have the ability to... Their weight room versus Jeff's weight room. Have you seen Jeff's weight room?
Dude, it's sick.
They have everything that we have, you know what I mean? Except, like, a couple strongman implements. My kids' gym... They got, like,
it's a small school.
You know what I mean? It's a 1A high school here in Indiana versus Jeff being a 6A. You know, it's just a lot different.
Different funding.
So, yeah, I think the kids that I coach would probably show up more than the Jeff kids. I don't know. I just want to get.
Yeah, we'll talk. Have you ever seen, you know, Zach Evanesh? You know who that is?
Yes. Okay. The dude in Ohio, right? Or Jersey.
He's Jersey.
Jersey.
But his, he works, yeah, of course you know him. He's like wrestling strength conditioning is like what he cut his teeth in. He was a teacher and a wrestling coach. And he got real big in the CrossFit world too because he kind of was doing badass circuit shit for his wrestlers as like their strength conditioning anyway. And like, I think that kind of setting and setup would be real badass for like high school athletic teams to come in and fuck around. Like,
especially heavy, in the summer, we can open up the garage door and then have just, yeah, dude, I want that to
be farmers and sandbag load and, you know, just get nasty.
Yeah. Cause I think that'll be a big market for, cause every high school kid age kid that we have coming in here now, they love this place. They're like, dude, this is the place. I'm gonna bring all my friends here. It's like, okay.
Hurry do it.
Up. Yeah. What are you waiting on? Get them over here.
We need this many more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. So going back to the Arnold, who do you got? Who do you got podium in any order now that you just said you don't pay attention to any of these guys?
I don't know. Okay, so on the podium, I don't know, first, second, third, but I think Hooper will be up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm looking at the events and the competitor list at the same time. Probably, I just don't know what package Thor's going to bring. I would cheer if he got on the podium.
I think he'll probably be on the podium. His training's looking fucking killer, and his weight has gone up. He looks good. He pulled 440 for like a pretty easy triple.
And then his training. Since I'm a fangirl, Alexi.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think the events are good for him. Denny Stonecarry. He's phenomenal presser.
He's a very technical deadlifter, and he's so good about manipulating his positioning. I feel like he'll finish with big points on the elephant bar deadlift too.
Yeah.
It's got so much bend in it and the length of his arms, like they'll probably only come off the ground like 3 inches. It's like sumo pulling for strongman when he's competing.
Yeah. And then
a bendy bar like that.
He's a super good presser.
Especially, is there dumbbell this year?
Very dynamic. No.
No. Is he a good axle?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's just a good presser in general. He's like me. He's like a dynamic. He's one of the only big dudes that'll split.
Yep.
So I think that's in his favor. And then he's a freak when it comes to moving the frame carry. He'll do all right. So yeah.
You got Hooper, hands,
Thor,
so
Alexi.
The Denny.
Those are my top three, I think. But I think it's going to be a dogfight because you got Tom Stoltman. He'll crush Stones, of course.
I think I'm going to put Stoltman in there over Novikov, but Thor and Hooper, I think, will definitely be in the podium.
Yeah.
As long as Thor doesn't get hurt between now and then, I feel like just the way he's building back up and he seems to be, like, happy in his training and shit now. Doesn't feel as, like, grindy as it was, I guess, but...
Yeah, I bet the burnout is probably gone.
I just feel like if he would have fucking just... He's 35 now. He was 30 when he... 2018 would have been 6 years ago. So he was, like, 29 or 30 when he just made that fucking tear in 2018 where he killed everything. And then he stopped doing World's Strongest Man because, you know, him and Colin don't... Or he doesn't... like that whole 2017 Eddie Hall win thing. He's a little butthurt.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll do World's Strongest Man ever again, but that's why he didn't on the 19 and 20. Yeah, sorry. I'm sounding a little like a Thor fangirl over here. But
no, you're
like,
good.
I feel like he's the best person that we didn't get to see through his whole prime because he took all that time off for boxing. Like, Marius Pujanowski was good, no doubt. He won five. No one else has won five. But he also competed when the IFSA split happened, and half the good guys were over there. Half the good guys were at World's Strongest Man, so he wasn't really competing against like the best of the best guys. And when the IFSA guys came back, they all started winning World's Strongest Man. The World's Strongest Man guys didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I feel like Marius is a little bit of an asterisk on his, and I feel like Thor, if he just kept going fucking straight through, could have been like a five-peat World's Strongest Man winner.
Yeah,
and I don't know that he can do that now that he's 35, but shit, I'd like to see him in that four wins category again, but shit, he's not doing World's Strongest Man anyway, so.
There's always hate revolved around, not hate, I guess, but cheering against when someone is at that level. You
right.
know what I mean? When he was, you know, 18, 19, 20,
prime. He was so dominant.
He's so dominant. People were like, oh, I'm tired of seeing. It's like this year when I was watching the NFL playoffs. It was like, I'm cheering against the Chiefs because I'm tired of seeing them.
Right,
and when
right.
the Patriots were on their tear, I was like, I just want to see
Tom
Brady lose.
The only thing people love more than a hero is watching them fucking fall.
Yeah. And so, but I have a new found respect for like that level of greatness because like.
What it takes to remain on top
dude,
that long.
When you and like the only time I've ever had that feeling. In my time competing, I've podiumed quite a few shows, but I've never like outright just dominated a show. My
right.
only time I've ever done that was 2021 Nationals. After day one, I was in the lead by a few points, and I was talking to Anthony Furman, my coach at the time, and I was like, dude, this is a like different feeling. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel right. It feels just, I'm not used to being the guy out front. He's like, welcome to what it feels like to have a target on your back. He's like, everyone now has their eyes on you. It's right. Like, what is he doing in this event, and what do I have to do? He's the one winning right now. What was his time? Okay, I'm going to shoot for that time. And so being in that position and then maintaining that position, you know, being a Michael Jordan on the basketball court, and it's like you're getting double, triple covered, but still putting up 30 points.
Right.
It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, who are you?
Some of these people are just fucking inhuman.
It's insane. But respect for greatness, dude.
Yep. It's easy to hate because you're just seeing you'll never be that way, so you should hate them. Like, I feel like that's where that comes from. If they're total douchebags when they win, I get it a little more. But, like, also, fucking do something about it if you hate it so much. Oh, you can't? Well, I guess sit the fuck down. Which is how I'm going to feel in 2 weeks when I'm just kicking the shit out of all these other old farts.
Dude, I'm hoping in March I go there and take home the victory, dude, because there's some legit competition I'm going to be rolling against.
Yeah.
Some seasoned men.
Yeah, that's going to be a good show. That's a pro show.
Yeah. And the Colorado thing, the elevation. The whole, yeah.
That's one of the reasons I've been pushing my conditioning. I mean, Nationals is in Colorado this year too, but it's not till June. But it's like, man, the better wind I can get, the better it's going to fucking be, because it's still going to be shit when I get up there. But yeah. Like, I'll be better off, you know, at 260 being able to like run and shit down here than I would have been at, you know, 275 and strong, but can't breathe or move up there.
Hell yeah. Well, I don't have much else to say. I got a client coming in here in 20 minutes.
That's a good segue. Cool. Well, if y'all like this, make sure you follow and subscribe to the show. We're going to do a little bit of pitch action here because I didn't last time. And there are links in the show description, affiliate links. If you want to buy shit, click my links. It doesn't change your pricing, but it kicks us a couple dollars because doing a podcast is not free. I pay a bunch of shit every year to keep this stuff up. So help a brother out. Buy some of our shit.
Please.
And if you're in Lafayette, Indiana, come train at our gym. Premeditated Health and Performance. I don't know why I couldn't think of the name for a second. It's super badass. We're going to start shooting some YouTube videos of some of the equipment and stuff that we got going on and just try to start making it, you know, a bigger presence here out in the internet world. So y'all follow along and we'll see you next time.